from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
You know it. It is Fresh Fridays here on the G and Ursula Show. Appreciate all of you being with us on this Fresh Fridays with an S. Joining me today, filling in for Ursula, is Spike O'Neill. Good morning to you, Spike.
Good morning, G. And if you guys aren't watching the feed online of the G and Ursula Show, you're missing my classic white dad dance moves.
I'm liking the moves I'm looking across here.
You know, Spike, I don't have a lot.
When you say white dad dance move, can you do your best to explain what that looks like?
Limited range of motion, antiquated sources of reference for what moves will impress the female of the species. You know, the stuff featured often in the show, the shows like Friends and Seinfeld, those type dance moves.
A lot of arm waving and hip moving.
A lot of arm waving, and the hips never leave a 16 to 18 inch box. The hips never leave the box. Feet firmly, solidly rooted into the earth.
You know what? That was well done, Spike.
Thank you.
Explained that.
I had to explain that before.
Hey, coming up here on the G and Ursula Show, we got a big show today. Of course, at 10 o'clock, Michael Medved will join the show. And my first question to Michael is this. For Republicans, are you going to pick Donald Trump or the United States of America? Is a simple question that I'll have for Michael Medved at 10. And coming up at 9:30, hey, guess what? A lot of folks are dipping into their savings. We'll tell you what's going on with that. But right now, as we always do, we give the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
So yesterday, right after the show ended at noon, Attorney General Merrick Garland made this statement about the Trump search.
Just now, the Justice Department has filed a motion in the Southern District of Florida to unseal a search warrant and property receipt relating to a court-approved search that the FBI conducted earlier this week. That search was of premises located in Florida belonging to the former president. The department did not make any public statements on the day of the search. The former president publicly confirmed the search that evening, as is his right. Copies of both the warrant and the FBI property receipt were provided on the day of the search to the former president's counsel, who was on site during the search.
Trump then said that he would not oppose the release of the documents. He wrote on Truth Social, his social media platform, "Not only will I not oppose the release of documents related to the un-American, unwarranted, and unnecessary raid and break-in of my home in Mar-a-Lago, I'm going a step further by encouraging the immediate release of those documents." And then last night, the Washington Post published a piece that said an informer told the Post that the FBI was looking for nuclear documents at Trump's house. And here's one of the article's reporter, Shane Harris, talking about it on CNN.
Well, what we understand is that among these classified documents that the FBI was searching for are documents related to nuclear weapons. Now, we're very clear in the story. We do not know whether that relates to U.S. nuclear weapons, the U.S. nuclear weapons arsenal or research, or information about the nuclear weapons of other countries. But what we do understand is that this information, which would in any instance be among the most tightly guarded secrets in the U.S. government, appears to have caused sufficient concern that it helped motivate this extraordinary search at the former president's home. And I think what this underscores is the degree to which law enforcement officials and others in the government were deeply concerned about the sensitive nature of the information that Donald Trump had at his personal residence. And we should also emphasize there is no plausible reason that experts can point to why a former president would need to have classified information of that significance at his home.
So, G, what do you think about how this is all playing out?
I think that I want to be like Merrick Garland, the attorney general. I want to sit here and leave and take the emotions out of this. I want to do the best job that I can to watch and let the professionals handle this, because what's happening is there's rhetoric that is unfortunately getting people killed. Today, Spike, someone is going to tell folks how much this is a political hit job and how this is unfairness and all of those things. That's because they put politics over country. We have a real serious problem in this country. We have people that continue to keep up this rhetoric for personal gain. The man yesterday that lost his life. Why did he lose his life? Because he thought the election was stolen. That's the reason why he was there January 6, 2021. He was also there yesterday with the threat on the FBI. Why? Because he saw messages on social media from Marjorie Taylor Greene saying defund the FBI. He's hearing things like, oh, the FBI is corrupt. And so here he takes himself and he goes to the FBI building and he does those things. And today he's no longer living. Now, I don't know that man. I would assume that there's possibly one or two people in this world that love him. But the problem is this rhetoric is causing people to believe these lies. And then they go and they do these things. Do you think that someone is going to come out and pay for their funeral? The people that's telling you these lies about the election being stolen, you think they really care about you? No, they don't care about you nor your family. So, Spike, for me, I want this to play out, but what I don't want to see happen, I don't want to see this emotions make people go do things that either they're going to regret or they won't be living because they made a huge mistake.
First off, I want to compliment you on being as even-keeled and unemotional as you possibly could during that, because I know it's not easy for you, because I know how passionate you are about everyone on this planet, even the someone who has conspired in his mind that he's going to be the guy that takes down the evil empire. And that's what happened yesterday. You're right. It is tragic. I don't know where to begin on this story, whether it's, you know, the nuclear information. Now, the information is being released this morning that some more details about that. It may have been capabilities and capacities of U.S. nuclear facilities, weapon facilities abroad. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, our enemies would pay dearly to know. I'm just so torn about the unnamed anonymous source. Speaking on the condition of anonymity, I mean, I get the benefit of getting this out into the media sphere, but, you know, that gives the other side a club to knock it down, an unnamed source. You know what? Like the people who wrote tell-all books after they left the White House, where were you when it was time to step up and say, hey, America, I don't care about my position in the party moving forward. I don't care. This is what's going on. And I apologize, I didn't make the emotional commitment you did, so I'm just going to go.
Go ahead.
Folks, I know they say we stayed in place to keep the guardrails up, because imagine, and there's this truth in, imagine who would have replaced me if I left this position. Guys like, General Kelly, former chiefs of staff, have said that as they left the Trump administration, imagine who took my place. And we saw who took their places. We saw the cavalcade of, you know, underclassmen moving into key positions at the Pentagon and the DOD and all these places. And finally, the last thing I'll say, and we've got so much news today. I know Donald Trump has a vast legal team. I think he's really tapped pretty much every attorney in America that he still hasn't, you know, that somebody hasn't stiffed on a bill yet. He's found more attorneys. He's got a big legal team. You know, maybe they should tell him that he's got all the paperwork he's demanding be released.
Right.
It's in your back pocket. Mm-hmm. Don't play the card about I encourage the release. Then reach in your back pocket, pull the thing out. There's no shortage of cameras and microphones near you. You know, don't play that.
Well, they have until 12 o'clock Pacific time for that to really happen. So we will see. We will see if Trump's message letting folks know, hey, you know what? I have no problem. Go ahead, unseal it. Or will it be, I want to unseal it, but my lawyers won't let me. We will find out. Yep. Hey, Chris,
prop bet in Vegas, by the way, is will Trump say they won't let me, or will they release a different document than the DOJ releases, and then say, well, theirs is fake. Well, there, you know, so many elements.
Yeah, Chris, what's next?
So the CDC yesterday dropped the recommendation that Americans quarantine themselves if they come into close contact with an infected person. They also said people no longer need to stay at least 6 feet away from others. So these changes are coming after 2.5 years into the pandemic. The CDC's Greta Mesetti, an author of the guidelines, said that the current conditions of this pandemic are very different from those of the last 2 years. Do you think the CDC waited too long? Or
I'm so tired. I am so tired of it changing. Now, look, I shouldn't be this way. Spike, I should not be frustrated. But I'm not going to lie to you. I am very frustrated. I am frustrated because the rules change all over the place. And I know science changes, but sometimes, sometimes it, for us people, for the working people or those that have kids that are in daycare, it's like it changes for us. Like sometimes the rules at your employment might not even be connected to the rules with the CDC. Man, it's all over the place, Spike.
I traveled across America last month. I went from coast to coast. Uh-huh. And it is amazing how many, I mean, I get we're a patchwork of different lifestyles, different priorities. State laws are important. Well, you know, part of the American fabric is individual state sovereignty and individual state laws. But mm-hmm. that gives us this, you know, it's like a rowing team and everybody's got an oar and the right to row in whatever direction they want. There's no way for us to move forward unless we're all rowing and we're agreed on a standardized set of guidelines, whether it's mandates, but we're all playing under different rules. We're playing checkers, chess, Parcheesi, Yahtzee. We're playing all these different games at the same time and wondering why we can't get any progress.
Seattle's Harborview Medical Center has too many patients, and for now they're going to stop accepting non-emergency patients. They say that when ambulances arrive at emergency departments, they're unable to offload the patients into beds because there aren't any. A nurse at Harborview named Meredith Banish tells Cairo 7 that they are filled to overload.
And every floor often has like a couple of hallway patients. We turned our family and visitor waiting room into a patient's room. The patients are crying to me that they just aren't getting good enough care. And it's kind of all on you as the bedside staff to take the brunt of that.
So Harborview has about 560 patients checked in right now, close to 150 more than they have licensed beds for. And so they say that a big part of the problem, 100 of those patients are ready to be just discharged to nursing homes or rehab centers, but there aren't enough beds and staff there. So it's kind of a supply chain issue all around.
This is heartbreaking. And it's heartbreaking on so many fronts. One day we're talking about we're having a shortage of nurses right now. Then we're also now talking about a shortage of beds, considering the hospitals are overflowing with patients. And the reason why that's happening, because there aren't enough beds in the rehab facilities. And so the part that is the most heartbreaking to me is the care that that patient is going to get. Your loved ones, our loved ones in the hospital. You know, I would assume that being in the hospital, there's a lot of fear and unknown. And if there's one thing that I think that we all can agree on, I think that we all want our loved ones to feel like they are being cared for inside of there. Because when you feel that care, Spike, that right there is motivation to get better. Sometimes our physical ailings can be can be factored in with our mental. We want the mental of the patients to be right. So this is definitely a problem, and I'm glad that we are talking about it because we have got to get the healthcare system more help.
I couldn't agree with you more, and the fact that it breaks your heart on so many levels from the patient who you're very accurately mental interaction, mental health is such a key component in physical recovery from injuries or just physical health in general as someone is in the twilight of their life. The nursing staff who are just beleaguered, overworked, understaffed, undersupported, and they're the only ones that are looking these people, these human beings in the eyes, people who haven't seen another human in hours, some maybe once a day someone checks in on them. Ugh. They have to see this heartbreak in the eyes of the people they care for, and they made a lifetime commitment to give everything to care for these people. So there's so many heartbreaks. But I'm glad at least we are acknowledging that the reason Harborview is overflowing is because there's no place to go. The pandemic had an impact on every aspect of global life, not just America. Don't blame the last administration or the current administration. Retirement facilities, senior care facilities were just decimated during the pandemic. Many had to close their doors, and many had to adjust how they reappropriate their budgets to make COVID accommodations, to make sure their patients that they cared for were as safe as possible. So that's why there aren't enough. All of a sudden, there are not enough beds for our senior people, for these patients, not just seniors, but to go to recover, all these things. This is just another, you know, part of like the pandemic is like a hog moving through a snake. You know, it's got to pass through the entire process, and we're kind of at the tail end, but we're still seeing the same fallout. And whether it's the over beleaguered healthcare staffs, the shortage of facilities, whatever it may be, it's a heartbreaking thing. I'm glad at least that the problem is being made public. That the steps are being taken, even from the governor's office, to try to make more facilities available on all elements of this story, so that this problem, isn't happening on a continuing basis.
I want to be very clear about something, and especially when it comes to the healthcare system. And I told you, and I think, like I said, I always try to find things that all of us can agree on. And there's one thing that we can agree on is that we want our loved ones, if they are patients in a hospital, to feel cared for and feel loved during that stay. Well, you know what? You know, it's pretty tough when you start to have an opinion, at least that's mine, that the healthcare system oftentimes feels as if it's more about profit, right, than it is about people. So when the profit side of things happen, when this happens, then the first people to suffer will be the people. Because I would assume that if you're in the hospital and you're not getting the care that you should get, your hospital bill won't be discounted. It won't say on the end of that hospital bill, hey, we're taking 25% off because we realized that we were only able to check on you once a day. I ain't never seen a hospital bill discounted.
You got the diminished love and attention discount.
And if you feel what I'm saying, then kumbaya. We on the same page. Hey, coming up next, we talk about savings. And guess what generation is dipping into their savings the most? Is it Gen Z? Is it millennial? Is it Gen X or baby boomers? We'll tell you next. Jean Ursula with Spike O'Neill. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Fridays to all of you. Ursula is out today. Spike O'Neill fills in for Ursula. Coming up next at about 9:47, we need to talk about a local team. Ooh-wee! They are going to the Little League World Series, and I can't wait to talk about it. But right now, Spike, you there, buddy?
I'm here, my friend.
Sometimes it's a little tougher because I can't see you.
I hear you. I do hear you.
Cool. There is a new survey by New York Life that says more than a third of U.S. adults are dipping into their savings accounts so they can deal with inflation. And if you're listening right now, I would love for you to text in and let me know about your experiences. 888-973-5476. Are you dipping into your savings? 36% of people said that they have withdrawn an average of $617 from their savings during the first 6 months of this year. And which age group has dipped in there the most with an average of $644, according to the survey? The answer is, oh man, is Gen X. Oh, it's the Gen X generation. We are the ones that are dipping into our savings the most. Spike O'Neill, give me your take on this topic, brother.
Well, I understand it completely. I've got a daughter who's Gen X. I know she's, you know, pinching pennies, eating at home with mom and dad more often than she did a few months back. I got to see more of my daughter. Hey, I'm going to do the laundry while I join you guys for dinner. I'm happy to help. I love seeing her face. But it's tough on them. And it's tough on everybody. I wonder how many of us had to us, I say, because I speak from personal experience. Mm-hmm. We just went through this with the, and I hate to keep bringing up the P word, but how many people had to dip into savings throughout the pandemic for a variety of reasons? And here we are just kind of coming out the back end, feeling like we returned to normalcy. It's like you just made it to the lifeboat, and here comes inflation. It's like they hit you with an oar as you're trying to climb in the lifeboat, and you got to keep dog paddling for a while.
Yeah. I love what you said yesterday, And, you know, not to say that I don't listen to everything you said, but there's some things that really stuck out to me yesterday. And you said something that was really key, because we have been talking about gas prices, and we're going to be talking about that in a second, because gas prices have dipped nationally below $40. $4. Sorry about that. Not 40. But one of the things you said yesterday is some of these prices that are going up and is expensive, some of these prices won't be going down, and one of the key prices is rent, right? We know that over the since 2019, rent is up 25%. In 2023, it ain't going to be a dip in rent prices. It's going to continue to stay. So in the case of this, there are a lot of Americans right now that had to dip into their savings, especially during the pandemic and during that time, because there was we had no idea that that was going to happen. But it's interesting, as people are dipping into their savings, you got to wonder, when will they be able to say, okay, we get that comeback. Now we have replenished our savings and we're up now. And that's going to take a long time to be able to recover. And a lot of people are trying to recover like, yo, I need to make more money. And I think everybody is having that problem for sure.
Could agree more.
Speaking of gas prices, gasoline has dipped under $4 for the first time in more than 5 months. AAA said the national average for a gallon of regular gas is $3.99, down from mid-June record of $5.02. But that's still about 80 cents higher than the average a year ago. So I got to ask you, because one thing I know, that we're all in different places. Some of you guys know I'm down here in Tacoma. Shout out to Tacoma. And you got up north in Everett and Edmonds and Magnolia, and then the east side. What are the gas prices in your area? I know for me at the Costco in Puyallup, gas, I got it yesterday for $4.05 a gallon. What's the gas in your area, Spike?
Well, for a comparable comparison, there would be Costco in my area, and we're at $4.45, and I'm up in the Shoreline Edmonds area.
$4.45. Okay.
Yeah, but I can tell you this: I looked around in my neighborhood.
Okay,
we had a little pre-show conversation, and I was made sure that I took a quick little ditty around my neighborhood, and it depends upon the gas station's location. There was an 80-cent swing at stations in my own neighborhood, not within a 5 mile radius of stations in our neighborhood, on the main drag of Aurora, a little closer down into the neighborhood, a little off the beaten track. You know, if a station is the only option, like up on Capitol Hill, there's one station, I believe, at the northern end of Broadway. Those guys are often 60, 80 cents more than I can pay elsewhere, because they're the only pump in town for that neighborhood.
Well, one of our good friends, I think you know him. His name is Chris Martin. He let us know the other day that he does not have air conditioning in his car, and two of the doors don't open. So I can imagine that
just
you go
a good old boy, never meaning no harm.
Is that how you get in?
They open. You have to use a wrench.
Oh well, you're a mechanic too. There's nothing this guy can't do.
So Chris, what's the deal? What's gas prices in your neighborhood, bro?
I live in Queen Anne, and there's only a couple of gas stations, and it's still $5.70, I think I saw, $5.65. I was saying that in the pre-show meeting. I think I'm just in the Seattle bubble where the price is insane, and then the farther you get out of town, it goes down.
I've got one the same price at two blocks from my house, but about less than a mile away from that, I can drop 70 cents.
425 says, it's funny listening to liberals trying to put a positive spin on gas prices. What's the spin? It is what it is. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read the text messages coming in. 360, good morning. I paid $4.09 in Silverdale. 425, Costco Marysville. I paid $3.99. Let me go back to the topic that we're talking about. There is no spin. Gasoline prices have dipped under $4 for the first time in 5 months. Fact. Prices still are 80 cents higher than they were a year ago. Fact. Spike, how can you spin gas prices?
Well, the same way you can spin an administration's policies into what we pay at the pump. A lot of folks know that gas prices are controlled by a global market, And there's global actions such as the Russian embargo on gas, which is 25% of the world's supply, affecting gas prices globally. The Biden administration isn't controlling gas prices in Norway or Holland or Spain or Argentina. You know, there are factors outside of the Oval Office that impact gas prices. But when you say liberal spin, I think you may not see the economic picture from the same set of glasses that I do.
You know, another thing, too, like, is there ever a time that you like, okay, you talk politics and then you talk about things in real life? Like, I know for me, yes, politics is something that we all engage in and we talk about. But sometimes it's just real life. And so sometimes you just have discussions like this. Oh, man. This gas is high. Oh, sucks. My goodness.
I bought a pot roast. It was $18.
You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. I can't believe I paid that much. But do you sit there and say, oh, my goodness, the Biden administration, I can't believe they did this. So if you're upset with the Biden administration 3 months ago for gas prices being really, really high, do you say to yourself, well, just because the gas prices are down doesn't mean the Biden administration helped? Nobody. Like, at the end of the day, I don't care. I don't care about Joe Biden. When I'm paying for something and something is more expensive, I just am like, man, this is really expensive and I don't want to do that again. Or when the mom and dad is dipping into their savings and they can't pay for their child to go and be a part of this sports, they don't say, ooh, Joe Biden is the reason why I can't pay for this sports. No, they say, ooh, things are high. My rent is more expensive. My landlord, oh, did Joe Biden make the landlord increase your rent 25%? Like, sometimes you got to live in real life, Spike.
Well, smart political minds will, and what they call that are kitchen table issues. And they know that kitchen table issues decide elections more so than how much we are in sending out foreign aid around the country. Those kind of issues. It was kitchen table issues. Gee, you're spot on. That's where people live.
That's where they live. And speaking of good issues, I want to talk about a local team. And if you are part of this local team, or if you know a friend that's a part of, you know a parent that is a part of this local team that's going to be going to the Little League World Series, text in. I'm super excited. I love Little League Baseball because before, years ago, I was a strike away from going to the Little League World. Oh, my goodness. I am super excited to talk about this. We talk about this next. G and Ursula with Spike O'Neill. The G and Ursula Show. Happy Friday to all of you. Appreciate you listening to the show. 10 o'clock comes in, and guess what? Michael Medved will join the show. And I'm telling you right now, my first question to Michael is going to be simple. The Republicans, which one are you going to choose? Donald Trump or the United States of America? I ask him that at 10 o'clock. But right now, we need to talk about Little League Baseball. Bonnie Lake Sun. Little League team. They win the Northwest Tournament, which means that they are going to the World Series. What an awesome thing for this to happen. They are going to Williamsport, something, a dream that I know I had as a kid. I don't know about you, Spike, having as a kid, but the idea, the first time when I was younger, seeing kids on TV play baseball, I mean, Now today we have cable television. Maybe it's not so much of a big deal to some, but ooh-wee, back in the day, it was a big deal. But anyway, they won this game. They beat Ben North, and Ben North was up on them 2-1 late in the game. And then what ends up happening, heroics happen, and Bonnie Lake Sumner goes ahead and wins the game. Love it.
I have always had a soft spot in my heart for the Little League World Series. I never played organized baseball as a kid. I played neighborhood ball. I mean, that was the beauty of baseball. You know, if you had at least two balls, because you were bound to lose one of them.
Yeah.
If you had two balls and a three or four good bats, you could get 18, 20 kids together and have just a blast of a day. Play all day long till the lights came on and you had to go home. But I love the Little League World Series. I know, gee, you probably, and hats off to Bonnie Lake. It is so great to have a local tie, and it's not our first. We've had other Northwest teams make it to the Little League World Series. Mm-hmm. But it's so great to have, you know, a representation that we can root behind and care about and get the, and rally the community. I love what sports does for a community. Just pro, the way down to the, and maybe even more so with these guys.
It transcends everything. It is the, look, I talk about this often, but to me, I don't talk about it enough. Sports are the reason why I was able to be around different ethnicities, cultures, and backgrounds as a kid. Sports.
Absolutely.
That was the reason why. It transcends politics, religious beliefs. It brings people together and everybody's focus for that, however long that game takes, whether it's two and a half, 3 hours, during that time, all of the families that are sitting together, they're all on one team. They have a common goal. They just want to see the team win. It makes you high five others. You're not even thinking about it. Whether you're at a Seahawks game, a professional game, you are thinking about, you have one thing in common, is that for your team to win. But back to Bonnie Lake, Sumner, Little League. Look, this is the reason why it's so awesome. Is because as someone who is now, I mean, I'm older now, right? But I love sports so much. And this big deal, and it should be, parents, families, please take a lot of pictures. Please take a lot of video and get those moments. Because these moments are things, they will never forget this. They will be talking about this moment 50 years from now. Still to this day, when I go back home to Chicago, my friends, we are still talking about situations that happen during baseball games. And I know somebody's listening right now, and you know you can relate to what I'm saying. You talk about when little Peter hit the game-winning shot, or somebody got the strikeout for your team. Those are magic moments, Spike.
I couldn't agree more. They are lifetime memories. And before we move off, and I know we're close on time, I know you've seen the video of the Pearland, Texas, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, the video of the pitcher who hit the batter, and the batter takes first base, but the pitcher is just, I mean, he's distraught. You can tell, and he's a little kid, uh-huh. And he's on the stage of the Little League World Series regionals, and the batter comes over to console the opposing pitcher. Mm. I mean, I got goosebumps. The hair on the back of my neck is on fire right now. Just even thinking about the compassion and leadership and humanity this little kid showed. Sports can do that for a community. I couldn't tell you how many people I've seen in Mariner caps in the last week, month. Go M's, total strangers, different walks of life, people I wouldn't give eye contact to, and not that I'm a closed-off person, I'm not, but that cap, it just brings us all.
It does. It does. Which is why what the Seahawks have done over the last 10 years has been amazing for this city.
Absolutely.
I watched it happen with the Bulls in Chicago. Mm. Oh, man. It's beautiful. Hey, coming up next, happy Friday to all you guys. But Michael Medved is going to join the show. Man, I have no idea where the discussion is going with Michael Medved. But the one thing I do know, that I truly respect this man.
Yep.
I love it when he comes on the show. There's times that we disagree. There's times that we agree. Look forward to this conversation that happens next. You guys are listening to The Gene Ursula Show with Spike O'Neill.